consecrate my office, my energies, and all the wisdom I can summon to the cause of peace among nations.
Now those who seek absolute power, even though they seek it to do what they regard as good, are simply demanding the right to enforce their own version of heaven on earth.
I want to thank Secretary Powell for his careful and powerful presentation of the facts.
A pack of lies. A pack of lies.
The United States government has, one way or another, ordered, authorized, permitted, tolerated, torture.
We're making tremendous progress, but there is much more to do to win the war on terrorism and defeat terrorism.
I have a dream. I have a dream.
The fact is, we do need better international governance to help spread the benefits of globalization, 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 globalization.
American world domination or paramountcy. Historically, the U.S. sought security, not domination.
Nothing's perfect in life, so you have an election that's not quite perfect.
Now was the time to come forward and say who specifically was on that energy task force and lift any kind of shadow that's still there.
We've been through this issue a number of times.
We need to make sure that the political, the economic, and the security infrastructure of that state is shaped and helped to come into being.
Weapons of mass, weapons of mass destruction.
United 93, Cleveland. United 93 here, Cleveland Center,
please. The only problem with the official account is that it involves violations of laws of nature, which alas can't be violated and can't be changed, so it's just fine as long as you're willing to believe impossible things.
Well, the first question I had was who profits from this, and I found out the least to profit about this were the Muslims and Osama bin Laden, and I were very doubtful about the declaration which came out from the Bush administration.
The dean of the Defense Language School, 3 months after 9/11, went public in the San Jose Mercury News headline, Dean of Defense Language School says Bush carried out 9/11. Then it had his quotes saying that he was forced to train in top-level spy training three of the supposed hijackers. Then we have the Pensacola News Journal and MSNBC admitting, and Senator Graham having to admit, that at least three of the hijackers were also trained there in secret pilot training. We then have the head of the U.S. Embassy in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, coming on this broadcast saying years before, the supposed hijackers by name were listed as Al-Qaeda terrorists. They went out to a Malaysian summit, were trying to come back through Saudi Arabia to the U.S., and they were flagged. He blocked them from entry to the U.S., and he received a high-level CIA communique and was told they're U.S. government agents and a high-level anti-terror training op. Then we have them in supposed flights in the weeks before 9/11 doing flying on aircraft. Even actor James Woods saw this and said they're clearly hijackers. The FBI said national security shut up. So with those nexus points, we have FBI informants living with them. We have them being paid, their credit cards being paid for by the government. We have the government protecting them. We have the government finding their passports at two different sites. We have all of this. They're clearly government agents. They have more connections to our government than they have to Al-Qaeda.
And if you follow these the behavior of the, or the activities of the CIA over the decades, you find out that they are fighting wars beyond the line of official war fighting. Nobody knows about it. All these things are normally covered operations, false flag operations with patsies like these 19 Muslims, in order to change things, change public opinion in Italy by terror acts, change public opinion in Palestine or wherever, or in Iran. So you have this kind of behavior from time to time, and it's a normal procedure. And if you analyze this over the decades, you find out that it repeats itself.
you know, the whole thing appears to have been a charade. I mean, when Condoleezza Rice comes out and says that, you know, no one could ever have imagined using these weapons, these airplanes as weapons, that's completely absurd. The Pentagon had a simulation a year before of exactly what would happen if a 757 hit the Pentagon. And you may stop and say, well, isn't that interesting? Because then it gave them an idea of what the crash scene ought to look like if it were to happen.
What I want to carry away is that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs himself has agreed there were no hijackers, there were no cell phone calls. Everybody aboard that aircraft, pilots and crew, were unconscious within 8 to 18 minutes after takeoff. And you can take it from there. I've got covered in books 2 and 3 what actually happened.
So they're knocked out, and then the remote control takes place, and the rest is history.
Yeah, there was remote control, and yes.
Turns out, from my research, that the 757 and 767s are the two types of aircraft in the air that could be controlled remotely from a distance or from the ground.
12 months before 9/11, the group New American Century, Project New American Century, they wrote a paper about the defense budget, the future defense budget of the United States. And they said, peace dividend, please no. The Soviet Union is gone. There is no danger any longer from this point of view. But now we have to fight for a new American century. We have to build bases. We have to throw out Saddam Hussein, not only because he is a bad guy. In former times, he was a friend of Rumsfeld and of Reagan.
And we need a terror attack to get that done.
And therefore, they said, well, we have to spend even more, and the American population is stupid enough not to believe it. And so it will take time to convince the American population. And the only thing which could help, would be a new Pearl Harbor. And then with a new Pearl Harbor, you would have an event which would switch immediately the attitude of the American public, having a new enemy, willing to go to war, willing to fight, willing to spend.
So an aide, here's Mineta in this underground bunker observing Cheney in charge, and an aide is coming up and saying, sir, it's 50 miles away, sir, it's 30 miles away, sir, it's 10 miles away, do the orders still stand? And Cheney turns on him and nearly bites off his head and says, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? Now, the aide, you would think, well, maybe, you know, was the order to shoot down the plane? If the order had been to shoot down the plane would have been shot down. They've got anti-aircraft batteries and all other kinds of stuff. You think of those brass hats with $400 billion, you know, financing available to them year after year after year aren't going to make sure they're the best protected in the world. So the order had to be to not shoot it down, and that obviously would cause alarm. I mean, to think of shooting down a commercial airliner, okay, you might say, well, of course, you're going to have some compassion for all the passengers, but look, if you don't shoot it down, it's going to impact the target, and more people are going to be killed. You're not only going to lose all the passengers, you're going to lose everybody else who's then killed, and then all the destruction wrought when the plane. So it can't be the case that the order was to shoot it down. The order had to be to not shoot it down, which obviously would cause alarm in any aide.
I wanted to focus just a moment on the presidential emergency operating center. You were there for a good part of the day. I think you were there with the vice president. And we had that order given, I think it was by the president, that authorized the shooting down of commercial aircraft that were suspected to be controlled by terrorists. Were you there when that order was given?
No, I was not. I was made aware of it during the time that the airplane coming in to the Pentagon, there was a young man who would come in and say to the vice president, the plane is 50 miles out. The plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the vice president, do the orders still stand? And the vice president turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? Well, at the time, I didn't know what all that meant. And
the flight you're referring to is the
the flight that came into the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And I was not aware that that discussion had already taken place. But in listening to the conversation between the young man and the vice president, at the time I didn't really recognize the significance of that. And then later I heard of the fact that the airplanes had been scrambled from Langley to come up to D.C., but those planes were still about 10 minutes away. And so then at the time we heard about the airplane that went into Pennsylvania, then I thought, oh my God, did we shoot it down? And then we had to, with the vice president, go through the Pentagon to check that out.
Let me see if I understand. The plane that was headed toward the Pentagon and was some miles away, there was an order to shoot that plane down.
Well, I don't know that specifically, but I do know that the airplanes were scrambled from Langley or from Norfolk, the Norfolk area, and but I did not know about the order specifically, other than listening to that other conversation.
But there very clearly was an order to shoot commercial aircraft.
Subsequently, I found that out.
With respect to Flight 93, what type of information were you and the vice president receiving about that flight?
The only information we had at that point was when it went into when it crashed.
I see. You didn't know beforehand about that airplane?
Did not.
And so there was no specific order there to shoot that plane down?
No, sir.
But there were military planes in the air in position to shoot down commercial aircraft.
That's right. The planes had been scrambled, I believe, from Otis at that point.
These planes were being piloted by remote control, probably an AWACS aircraft taking over that airplane, or airplanes, or drones, unmanned drones, and flying them at 5 and 8 G force that no pilot could withstand.
I think the psychological trauma that Americans are undergoing here and coming to the realization that their government has been lying to us and performing terrorist acts on the American people is analogous to a wife discovering her husband has been molesting his daughter. I mean, it's so overwhelmingly frightening psychologically that accepting that it's taking place becomes, you know, a source of psychological paralyzation. But it's like cancer. I mean, you know, you hear the phrase, what you don't know can't hurt you. Anyone who has had cancer, as I have, knows the absurdity of the idea that you can just ignore things and that they're going to get better. What we have to do is come to grips with the truth here, which is that this administration has not merely been molesting the country, but actually conducting acts analogous to rape and pillage. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. Most corrupt administration in American history, bar none. I have no doubt about it. I've been saying this for years, and the evidence is overwhelming.
Four fighter interceptors within 10 minutes of takeoff from those planes.
Well, there you go.
United 93, do you still hear Cleveland? United 93, United 93, do you hear Cleveland? United 93, United 93, Cleveland. United 93, United 93, do you hear Cleveland Center?
Do you see any, activity on your right side, smoke or anything like that?
Negative, we're searching.
Yeah, we do have a smoke puff now at about, probably 2 o'clock. It appears to be just a dark cloud, like a puff of black smoke.
The defense secretary said this while speaking about a number of terrorist acts and the people who committed them.
The people who bombed the mess hall in Mosul,
or the people who did the bombing in Spain, or the people who attacked the United States in New York, shot down the plane over Pennsylvania and attacked the Pentagon.
The people who shot down the plane over Pennsylvania. He was presumably speaking of United Airlines Flight 93, which crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania on 9/11. No U.S. official has ever credited theories that the plane was shot down. We've been unable to get clarification from the Pentagon.
In fact, a colonel who was with me in front of the, who is a former Air Force officer, was responsible for aircraft investigations, told me that at Shanksville it looked as though they brought a bulldozer out and carved a gouge in the ground and put some trash in there and blew it up to make it simulate or look something vaguely like. He confirmed, by the way, that these apparent pods at the bottom of those planes, he thought actually were features of the planes, and that therefore they appeared to be militarized versions of 767s.
Look what happened to Clinton with his sexual affairs with Lewinsky. They spent $60 million in finding out whether he lied or lied not, having sex or not sex, and so on what kind of sex. They spared money in finding out what happened on 9/11. This is so unbelievable.
The plane in there?
We don't know yet.
What do you mean?
We're still looking for it. First, we thought it was in the hole, but there's nothing in there. It must have landed in the woods, but we haven't located it yet.
We're talking about a 757. It's a huge airplane.
Yeah, we know. You can help us look for it if you like.
Hundreds of searchers who climbed the hemlocks and combed the woods for weeks were able to find about 1,500 mostly scorched samples of human tissue totaling less than 600 pounds, or about 8% of the total amount of passengers. Miller was among the first to arrive after 10:06 on the magnificently sunny morning of September 11th. He was stunned at how small the smoking crater looked, he says, like someone took a scrap truck, dug a 10-foot ditch, and dumped all this trash into it. Once he was able to absorb the scene, Miller says, I stopped being coroner after about 20 minutes because there were no bodies there. Immediately after the crash, the seeming absence of human remains led the mind of coroner Wally Miller to a surreal fantasy that Flight 93 had somehow stopped in mid-flight and discharged all of its passengers before crashing. Wallace Miller, the coroner of Somerset County, is quoted, This is the most eerie thing. I have not, to this day, seen a single drop of blood, not a drop.
Is it fair to say, Andres Mambillo, that if you look at all the evidence, 9/11 could only be an inside job and that the official story is a fable?
Yeah, because the official story is so wrong, it must be an inside job. If the official story would tell the reality, what has gone on 9/11, if they could tell the people why the whole military apparatus didn't work on 9/11, no fighter plane did take off in the right mm-hmm. time, no of this air carriers were stopped or derogated before.
What about the drills of the same targets being hit same time? What about public officials warned not to fly? What about CIA insider trading? What about Bush signing W199I, ordering the FBI?
You had this insider trading before. You had FinCEN, the secret services of the financial apparatus in the United States. They have a special software program to follow the stock markets, and if the stock market has very strange movements, immediately they take care of this, and they had a lot of tape recording, and the lawyers of, I think, FinCEN told the people, destroy these tapes.
This comes under speculation now, and I'm telling you that we are knowledgeably speculating. Those aircraft carrying crew and passengers went over the Atlantic, and that was all she wrote.
Completely convinced that what the government has been telling us is not just a lie, but a massive lie, that the government has actually been using violence and threats of violence to instill fear into the American people in order to manipulate us for political purposes, which means that if you stop and think about it, the American government has been practicing terrorism on the American people.